Well, hi once again, race fans. I'm Sean Wood, and welcome back to the Dirt Track Challenge coverage of our countdown to the 2012-2013 International Midget World Series, Boxing Day now. Just a few days away on December the 26th, and a guy who knows about winning down in New Zealand, and one of the real nice guys in the motorsports industry, we bring in Jerry Coons Jr. Jerry, always a pleasure to speak with you. Thanks again for your time, and I know you're looking forward to heading back down to New Zealand once again and trying to win the 50, but not having a tie this time. Would I be correct on that one?
Yeah, it'd always be nice to have one winner, but yeah, you know, I always look forward to going to New Zealand. It's just a great facility down there at Western Springs, great atmosphere, the crowd's unbelievable, and, you know, just get a lot of support there, so a lot of history at that racetrack, and, you know, we go down there for the four or five races, the 50 lappers, the big one, and, yeah, definitely hope we can win that one and not have a tie like we did a couple years ago.
We had Dave Darlin on yesterday, and I asked Dave what was it like for him his first time when he went down in 94, and when you look at who else was down there that year, Jimmy Sills, Sleepy Tripp, and Tony Elliott. That's a pretty potent lineup right there in and of itself. And I said, Dave, what was it like to, you know, for your very first time? He goes, I don't know. None of my fans were in the stands. So what was it like for you your first time looking up and there you have a 30,000-seat stadium that's filled to capacity to watch a midget race?
Yeah, it's a pretty unbelievable place. I first went down in 99, 2000, and I think the team then was Jay Drake and Mark de Beaumont, Clay Klepper, myself. And, you know, it was a little bit different when we were going because we weren't going over the Boxing Day events. We were later in the year. So, you know, the Christmas holiday down there, that time of the couple weeks where people are off work a lot just draws a lot better crowd, so it's good that they moved the midget series to that. So, yeah, you know, we had a good time. We had a very good time the first time we were down there. It was something unique, and the formats were a little bit different then, but it was, you know, definitely an experience to, you know, to race somewhere over there. I already been to Australia a couple times, so it had some experience racing overseas, but like I said, it's just a great place to go.
Did you ever think that you would have seen the time come where you're in the cockpit in midget and there's 30,000 people in the stands watching you guys do battle?
No, I mean, it's like I said, it's something definitely, you know, special. That place is, you know, to see the stands all around it and all that, we just, it's, you know, pretty to see, you know, full grandstands and in a stadium type atmosphere like that. It's, you know, you can hear the crowd cheering, it's loud, and, you know, just like I said, the fans down in New Zealand are great. It's just a fun place, a lot of families, and Western Springs does a really good job of, you know, catering to the family and the kids and things like that. So that's, you know, why they draw the big crowd. They just do a good job down there.
Speaking of special, we had a chance to be a very special part of history a few months ago at the Belleville Midget Nationals. You became the first three-time winner of the event. Now that a few months have passed, can you put in perspective what that really means to you to have won that prestigious midget event and be a three-time winner of it?
Well, it's definitely special. That's one of, you know, probably for me personally, that race was one that I had always wanted to win in the first place. And when you look at how difficult that race is to win, I mean, there's a reason why there's only a handful of guys that have even won it twice. And it took me, I think, 15 years to win it the first time. And we just, Belleville's one of those places that you're, you know, you're racing the racetrack as much as you're racing your competition there. So I just, being as hard as it was to win the first time, I've always gained a lot of respect for that race and the history of the race, and love the racetrack, love the town, and again, the people there and stuff. It's just a lot of fun, and been fortunate enough to have a pretty good fan base there, going there so many years and coming up short so many times. So to finally win it one time and then to, you know, be able to win it a second time 2 years later, it was just, you know, incredible to be able to put my name on that list. So definitely, I'm proud that it paid off finally, because that is my biggest race of the year and probably my favorite race. So, and to be able to clinch that the third time and be the first one to be able to do that, you never know. You know, we'll see. I may not be the only one that does it, but at least I was the first one, and that'll be something that'll always, you know, it'll always carry and be very special to me.
And you are spot on about the racetrack out there, as well as the community of in the town of Belleville. Just absolutely wonderful people. And I was saying to my dad this morning that it was interesting driving out there. You felt so bad and so heartbroken for the poor farmers with their destruction of the corn crop from the drought we had this year. But so great to see that they have the snow, and now hopefully that'll give them something to give a runoff to. But yet, despite all the destruction around the area, the townspeople still treat you like your family. And I guess that's got to be one of the things that is special for a driver, that you keep coming back year in and year out, just how much they treat you like your family from day one out there in Belleville.
It really is. And like I said, just not only the town people, but the fans that travel around. That's why I enjoy Belleville. We always take the motor home, and we camp out there in a campground right outside the racetrack and the fair there. So, you know, you're always kind of out, so, you know, we're out playing with the kids or going to the fair. And so it's, again, Belleville is such a family atmosphere as well. And there's just so many motorhomes and people around that you're just kind of out mingling with people all the time. And so it just makes it a real fun atmosphere. And really looking forward to Belleville this year with not only the USAC National Midgets going back, but as well with the Silver Crown series going there. I think that's just going to give Belleville a huge shot in the arm. You know, very, very fortunate, very pleased that the fair board decided to do that. I had, you know, been on the phone with them many times right after Belleville last year to see what we can do to get this going. And, you know, I think that's what really needed to happen, was to get USAC back in there and have something else go along with it to give it a big boost. And I think the Silver Crown cars are going to do that. I think it's going to be a great doubleheader. So, very excited for Belleville this year, and we're going to do our best with Joe Dooling and Rusty Coons to get a fourth one, and maybe we'll be able to do that, and would be pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool, and I myself am a great fan of the USAC Silver Crown Series, and definitely am looking to seeing them on the high banks out there at Belleville come August. Speaking of Silver Crown, second by just a few points to Bobby East this year. How would you assess your 2012 racing season?
I think it was okay. Like I said, the Silver Crown Series, we were very good. It was unfortunate on the championship. We won two races, won a dirt race and a pavement race, won in the Hoosier 100 for the second year in a row, which, definitely that was probably one of the highlights of the year. And, unfortunately, in a series that we only have 9-10 races, you have a DNF, and that really kills you. In the first race of the year at, Lucas Oil Raceway, we were going to finish in the top 3 to 4, probably second or third, and had a crack in a radiator that put us out of the race, and that was enough of a point difference there to cost us a championship. I mean, we still had a shot at it going into the last race at Terre Haute, but, Bobby just dominated that race, sitting on the pole and checking out there. So, and we run second in the race, but it just wasn't enough. And so, a little obviously disappointed that we didn't win the championship, because we were so close, and having just a crack in a radiator cost you that. It's a little disappointing. But, the midget and Joe Dooling's midget were very consistent and ran up front. Probably didn't win as many races as we would have liked to, but, just kind of had a couple times where just things were, just didn't work our way. Turkey night, we had a strong run. Being one of the last cars to qualify, a track had fallen off real bad, so we didn't qualify good, but we started 17th and ran second. And, had some good runs in the midget, so it was, sprint car was okay. Would have liked to have probably been a little bit better there, and, we had some good finishes, didn't get a USAC win like we wanted, but, there's always room for improvement. You always want to do better, but, overall, it was definitely a good season.
What are your plans for 2013 overall?
Right now, still with the same RW Motorsports and the Silver Crown Series, and be back again in Joe Dooling's 63 Midget. Be back at Chili Bowl here in a few weeks as well. And Frank car right now is kind of up in the air. I don't have anything solid right now, and so sprint car right now, I don't know what I'm doing at this point.
Well, let's get back to talking a little bit about the upcoming International Midget World Series. And when you look at the drivers that are coming over from the States, it's a pretty stacked deck of cards here. You have Dave Darlan. You have Corey Cruzen coming back, both guys after a couple of years off. Kyle Larson, who really lit up the crowd last year right out of the box with a couple of wins. And also Brian Clausen and a couple of East Coast guys that I'm a little more familiar with, and I know you know one of them, Steve Buckwalter. He's a heck of a midget driver and a 410 guy, and a young kid named Alex Bright, out of Collegeville, Pennsylvania. Talk a little bit about what the USA contingent might be able to bring to the program for the World Series this year.
I think it's definitely the biggest lineup, probably the most drivers that have been down from the U.S. for sure in a while, and yeah, definitely very competitive. I mean, Alex Bright came to USAC Midget Week and really opened some eyes there, did a really good job. So, and he's actually going to be driving the team car to me. So he's been down already in Australia and been racing some races at Western Springs already this year. And, the other guys, they don't need a whole lot of introduction. And, Buckwalter does a heck of a job. So, it's definitely probably one of the strongest groups that have gone down in a while. I mean, we had Clausen and Larson last year, and you throw the Michael Pickens and the Brad Mosen and a few of the other guys there in New Zealand that are tough to beat, and I think Nathan Smee from Australia is going to be over. I'm not sure who else from Australia is going, but Nathan will be there, and he does a good job. So it's going to be probably one of the toughest International Series that's been there for a while.
Could this be a series, Jerry, where we might see some big names sitting on the sidelines when it comes to feature time, say, over the first few nights?
Oh, I think it's going to be, it's like I said, it's going to be a coin toss on who's going to be doing what there. I think it's going to be some of the best racing that Western Springs has seen in a while, because, like I said, now that Larson's been down there before, even though it doesn't take him much of a learning curve, obviously, but in Boston as well, but it just seems like you get down there, you might win a race right off the bat, but there's always a little bit of the track's just different, and you kind of got to learn how those guys race a little bit and stuff. So the place can always surprise you.
So in all the years now that you've been going down, and of course you're driving for Danny Lindage, talk to me a little bit about the 50. What's critical in terms of setting up the car? Is it early, middle, or late to try to find the right balance so that you're there in contention to win the prestigious 50 lapper?
Well, you definitely got to be there at the end. That's the whole key. And, it just makes it tough if, you can't get yourself too buried as far as the lineup goes. You got to get through your heats and score your points. Their format's a little bit different, where you run three heat races and it's off of finishing points. You don't get passing points or anything like that. It's strictly off finishing points. So, you got to make sure you get through your heats solid, because you want to be up front. You get a guy like, Pickens or Clausen or Lars or somebody off the front row, they're pretty tough to catch, so you really got to be up there. But setup wise, certainly it's a balance of having the car good early to stay in the game, but then you got to be there at the end, because Western Springs will change quite a bit in 50 laps, like any dirt track will. So sometimes their tires can be an issue. Once in a while, sometimes it's easy on tires, but at times with the 50 lapper that you may have to watch your tire a little bit too. So it's a tough race there for that long of a 50 laps around there is long time.
Well, Jerry, as always, we greatly appreciate your time, and thank you so much for joining us here on our countdown to our annual coverage of the International Midget World Series on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Want to wish you all the best of luck, and hopefully, if you get a shot to win the 50 this time, it's you're out there by yourself and not having to try to explain to people, well, there is a tie, but, well, it depends on what side of the coin you're looking from at, whether there was truly a tie or not.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those things. They don't really, you know, everything down there is a little bit different going off the transponders. I mean, the transponders did come in as a tie, but that's all they go off there. They don't go off of visual scoring and, you know, so they're strictly going off the transponders. So, yeah, so, you know, it's just they're not an exact science, and you got to make sure they're in the, you know, are they always in the exact same place on every car and so forth. So, it, you know, it is what it was, and you know, we won it on our own before, and then we had the tie there. So, you know, it's I've had a lot of fun going to New Zealand. We've, you know, been fortunate to be very competitive and won the New Zealand title as well as the Barry Butterworth, which is another big race down there. So, you know, had a lot of fun going down there, and hopefully we can stick a couple more wins in the column this year.
Sounds good. Jerry Coons Jr. joining us here on our countdown to the International Midget World Series. And the first broadcast comes your way on that's Wednesday, next Wednesday, December the 26th. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Sean Wood.